and one of them goes back to the drugs, because at 9/11 we got the country all mad and we went to war and went to Afghanistan, and the oil isn't flowing yet, but the poppies are growing. And the Taliban had the poppy growing down to, 15% of what it had been. It's now 300 to 400%. The people do the research, say that there's CIA operatives around there with the C-130s that are bringing the drugs out. And if you look at the CIA drugs, and I was just very interested when I was researching it that I found that it meshed with the secret societies. And you look at George H.W. Bush, and you look at the big importation of narcotics in the 80s. One of the main persons who was doing that was Barry Seal, a CIA agent. And his testimony is that he was working directly out of George H.W. Bush's office. And you have Rodney Stick, who is a FAA investigator, who's written several books. That shows that, George H.W. Bush wasn't out of the loop, that his Zapata oil that he developed, they had the first platforms out in the Gulf of Mexico. Those platforms were used by intelligence services for guns and drug running. We have testimony from the grunts that did it. We have letters between Prescott Bush and Neil Mallon and Alan Dulles talking about how those platforms would be nice to have for use in the mid-50s. And so there is just lots of documentation that shows that, this narcotics running has been put under some quasi-national security thing that allows it to continue to happen in the amounts that happen. And when you look at it really, really hard, you find that these secret societies were involved in it big time in China in the 1830s, and they were making big, big money up until after the Second Opium War, it became illegal.
So what about the sins of the fathers? I mean, does that filter down to the sons?
Well, I really don't know if it filters down, but it does seem that you have Prescott Bush was a member, you have George H.W. Bush was a member, and you have George Bush was a member, and there seems to be a common agenda that both of them were working towards and working in, one being the intelligence and the executive branch and the U.S. government. But to get back to the drug running, in 1856, it became legal in China, and these smugglers, they lost their cash cow. And you can look at the historical record and see where they went from owning 80% of the transportation boats and air trains in the Orient to owning less than 5% because they lost their cash cow. And so what happened was William Howard Taft, who was the son of the founder of Skull and Bones, there's a big long story about how we got involved in the Spanish-American War, but we ended up, they got the people all riled up to go to Cuba, but we didn't go to Cuba first. First thing we took was the Philippines. And they sent William Howard Taft over there as a civil governor before the war was really over, and we ended up fighting, 2 years of a, 2-3 years of a horrific war there. And one of the acts that William Howard Taft did there was he declared opium illegal for the first time in modern Asia. And then he helped start the Shanghai Convention and the Hague Convention, which then we have three plants that are worth more than gold now that are illegal. And this illegality, it's unconstitutional. It has nothing to do with our children or our own personal health. It has to do with keeping a black market, which allows these people to make hundreds of billions of dollars that not only addict people personally, but this drug money then addicts our economy, where we do bailouts of Mexico, the bankers do that for one reason, because they know that there's going to be this big drug money that Mexico has that they use to pay it back. And you have a situation in this country where that drug money has completely corrupted our political system. You have four states here that are the largest importers of narcotics. Those are California, Texas, Florida, and New York. The four states that have the largest presidential campaign contributions are California, Texas, Florida, and New York. The four states that have the largest amount of money laundering are California, Texas, Florida, and New York. And, you know, we have people paying how much money for a job that pays $200,000 a year? And when you follow the drug trade, you see that it inhabits both parties. And, you know, when you look at our electoral system, you have, you know, Jimmy Carter went to a Bilderberger meeting in 1975 and was president in 1976.
Which was one of those secret societies.
Right. And Clinton went to a Bilderberger meeting in 1991 and was our president in 1992.
Secret society.
And Mena, Arkansas was there, and it's still in operation today, and there's, you know, people say
there's our country. What do you think the mission is of this secret society, albeit the Skull and Bones, albeit the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, because it's probably all one and the same, huh?
There seem to be links between these different groups, and there are members, core members, that are members of these same groups. Yes.
What do they want?
Well, according, again, to conspiracy theory lore, what we're dealing with is a multi-generational cult. They want to move our country away from being a republic to being a more of a fascist state, to be a monarchist state where they, you know, have the right to rule. They seem to believe that most of these groups are very related to the blue blood.